you got here just in the nick of time. What does that make us?
Big damn heroes, sir.
Ain't we just?
Now, our operation is small, but there's a lot of potential for aggressive expansion. So which of you fine gentlemen would like to join our team? Oh, there's only one spot open right now, so we're gonna have tryouts.
He went and did a silly thing. Well, I'll tell you what he did. He ordered his planes to attack your country.
Hello and welcome to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM, a film and TV radio show where a handful of film enthusiasts shoot the breeze about all things film and TV related. I'm Marcus E. Acko, and my favorite last line of a movie, it's a tie. I've got one from Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, which is, Mein Führer, I can walk! The other one is from Serenity, is Wash. His last lines are, I am like a leaf, watch me, and that's it. Anyway, those are my two favorite ones.
Fantastic. I am Laura Sampson, and my favorite famous last words, it's a tie for me, but this one is probably the best. It is the great and marvellous and beautiful Stringer Bell from The Wire. And he stands up.
Spoiler alert. Just saying. Okay. Just in case you haven't seen.
If you haven't seen The Wire, then I have no sympathy for you. But he stands up and he says, well, get on with it, mother. And that's it. He's gone.
Yep.
The shadow of the whole series, the most beautiful thing that most women had ever seen up to that point, is gone.
That was the second to last episode of season three for me.
Season four got a bit.
Here's the thing. Season three is my favorite season, or is it season four? Always my favorite season. I keep going back and forth between season four and season three. But yeah, season three is definitely one of my favorite episodes, favorite seasons of The Wire. That particular scene you're talking about, you have Stringer Bell, you have Omar, you have brother Muzon, and it's a brilliant show. If you haven't seen it, five seasons of pure genius. Go and check it out.
And then go and see Treme, which has got half the same people in.
See, yeah, Treme is made by the same the creators of The Wire, but it's completely different. It's a shift in tone. For one, they move cities. They go to New Orleans, and it's about jazz and the New Orleans. It kicks off after Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, the immediate aftermath of Katrina, but all the music's still going on.
Absolutely.
And there are all kinds of other subplots going on, which just made it one of the best things I've seen in the last 5 years.
Yeah, and if you're a fan of The Wire, you love the cameos and the characters that just keep, well, not characters, but the actors that just keep flooding through in Treme, so you'll enjoy it. Well, you're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I am Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
Now, we unfortunately are missing our guest today. We were scheduled to have Winston Ellis come join us today, actor, producer, three times world martial arts champion. Unfortunately, he has been struck down with a bad case of flu. So our heartfelt condolences go out to Winston. We hope you can come back, and you definitely come back and join us. We will reserve another spot for you sometime in the series. You come back and you tell us all about your projects, and we can reminisce about your time on Dark Knight Rises. No, not Dark Knight Rises, but Dark Knight Night, Pirates of the Caribbean, and all your other projects as well. So what we're going to do is we're just going to switch things up a bit, make today's show very vibrant for those of you that are going to be listening to it. So we're going to shift up things a little bit, and we're going to change things. Rather than do the news first, we're going to shift it and do top five UK box office. So we're going to jump to number five, Coco. We've been talking about it constantly, and I'm glad to see it's still hanging on in there. If you haven't seen Coco, it's a Pixar movie. It's set on the Day of the Dead, Mexican Day of the Dead, about a kid who crosses over to the land of the dead, and he meets his grandmother and grandfather. And I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it's an amazing film. If you haven't seen it already, go and check it out. It's great fun for all the family. Just be prepared to cry if you go and see it, especially
absolutely. Get ready to start, your fingers will start itching to pick up that guitar you haven't picked up since you were a teenager.
Yep.
And you'll just want to listen to Latin music for the rest of the week. And
yeah, and if you're...
What other symptoms have you suffered from loving Coco?
For me, personally, because I'm terrible. This is one of my failures in life. I've always wanted to learn how to play the guitar. I even bought a guitar at one point, named her Eleanor. This was like, it was decades ago. And my plan was I was going to teach myself. I was not going to go to an instructor or anything like that. I had that guitar for 5 years. I only learned one tune that I made up myself, and it was okay. It was like a nice little string pick kind of thing. And I had to sell my guitar because it was just gathering dust. I wasn't doing anything. So my plan is, before I retire, I'm going to pick up the guitar again, maybe buy another one, call her Eleanor too, and learn how to play Spanish guitar.
Well, I'm going to find as many guitar-laden films as I can for you so that you'll definitely keep your promise this time.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's number five, Coco. Number four, The Greatest Showman. Hugh Jackman still hanging in there. It dropped out of the top five and then came back in. Coco, by the way, has taken $15 million in the box office in the UK. Greatest Showman has taken $30 million.
That's amazing. And now people are starting to go back again for sing-alongs. Would you? Because people have learned the tunes, because they're so...
Would you go to a sing-along show for The Showman, for The Greatest Showman?
I wouldn't rule it out, because okay, I have been to several other sing-alongs. You know the Prince Charles Cinema?
Yes.
In Piccadilly Circus?
Yes.
I've been to The Sound of Music.
Okay.
I've been to the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Ah, yes.
I don't see why...
How do
the
you
Greatest
do that?
Showman should be left out, no. Do you?
Here's the thing. Is it... Okay, I guess... The fans of the show, because the two you just mentioned, Sound of Music and Rocky Horror Picture Show, they have been, since the 80s, we've grown up with those movies, right?
We have.
So they've been ingrained in our memories, in our childhood and whatnot. So when it comes out, yeah, you as an adult, you'd go to that because the songs just basically roll off the tongue. But The Greatest Showman has only just come out. Do people know the songs so well that they would actually sing along to the movie?
Well, it's probably a case of they actually do need the karaoke subtitles at the moment.
Yeah,
because I don't know about you, but I certainly don't need them for The Sound of Music.
Yeah, of course.
Not anymore.
Another example, Mamma Mia. Mamma Mia had the same sort of thing. But again, that's because it's based on ABBA songs, which have been since the, 70s? So people, again, they know it off by heart. You don't need the karaoke words scrolling across the screen. But with The Greatest Showman... I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I would leave it at least another 10 years before I would go to The Greatest Showman sing along show. But that's just me.
Well, personally, the songs aren't quite as much to my taste.
Okay.
But I love a sing along.
Okay.
And who doesn't, really?
Okay, fair enough. I won't argue that. Number three is The Shape of Water. Guillermo del Toro is scooping up.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah, he's scooping up awards. Not necessarily box office though, because in the list that we have, that's the only one that is in single digits. It's $2 million so far in the UK box office, and I don't think it's going to take that much more. Oh, it's racked up critical acclaim, and it will sweep up at awards. But I don't think box office will be that strong for this one.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it did better this week.
Okay.
It came out on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. Guillermo del Toro is not a name that I associate with romance, even though there is romance in in all of his films, whether it be between humans or monsters or one human, one monster, who knows?
Yeah, but it's more of a subplot as opposed to kind of the driving force of the movie.
But it's not something I would have gone on a date to see on Valentine's Day, but it is something I and my friends might go to, say, this weekend.
You wouldn't go and see Shape of Water as a Valentine's Day movie?
Well, my partner and I are probably slightly different from many other people. Perhaps we would, because we love monster films.
Sure.
But it's not something that if I was randomly looking on a cinema listing billing thing, it's not something I'd go, oh yeah, romance.
Okay, would you go to the Shape of Water sing-along show? There's not a sing-along show. I'm just asking, if there was a sing-along show, would you go and watch that?
Probably.
Fair enough.
I love monsters and I love singing.
You see,
I also love The Neverending Story, but that's another story.
Is there a single? Okay, fair enough. Yes, I'm surprised you didn't bring that up. Oh, by the way, what did I say? Welcome back, because you weren't here last week, and it was chaotic and whatnot. But David stepped in, and he was amazing, helping us engineer the sound and everything else. But welcome back. I get to talk
thank
to you.
Thank you, and thank you, David, for standing in for me.
Yeah, no worries. One of these days, we'll get David to actually talk on the radio and say something. Anyway, so that was number three, Shape of Water. Number two, 50 Shades Freed, which has taken 13 million. Have you seen this one yet?
No, in fact, I'm ashamed to say I haven't even seen the first one.
Really? Okay, I don't know what I'm saying, really.
You've seen them all, have you?
No, I haven't. The closest thing to 50 Shades that I've seen is the YouTube college humor parody of it, where it's 50 Shades Grey audiobook as narrated by Gilbert Gottfried. It's the best thing you will see on YouTube today. Go and check it out. Type in 50 Shades Grey, Gilbert Gottfried. You don't know who Gilbert Gottfried is, do you? Okay, have you... did you watch the cartoons, the Aladdin cartoons?
Yes.
You know Iago, the parrot? He kind of talks kind of like this.
Yes,
that's
I do.
That's him.
In fact, I know all of his lines. Although I won't inflict them on our listeners right now.
Oh, I will. I don't care. He narrates 50 Shades of Grey kind of like this. And it's just amazing. Go and watch it. Anytime I hear 50 Shades of Grey, that's the first thing I think of. That's the first thing I just go onto
50
YouTube.
50 Shades of Grey, Iago the Parrot. 50 Shades of Grey, Iago the Parrot.
Just type in Gilbert and it will populate for you. It's college humor. Go and check it out.
I would
people to go and see that rather than see 50 Shades Freed. But you know what? That's just me. And then number one, surprise, surprise, it is Black Panther, which has taken 17.7 million in the 1 week alone that it's been in the UK. It's broken all box office records in America and so on. And I got I'd say it's well deserved. So yeah.
Is there anywhere where it's not, where it didn't become number one even before Friday?
I don't
came
know.
Round?
I haven't actually seen that yet. I'd say all I've heard about with regards to negative criticism, I've heard different levels of negative criticism, which is one of the things I want to kind of talk about when we move into the next segment, which is news. But nothing about it not having been successful in the box office. So far, I've only heard of the UK box office. I've heard of American box office. I haven't heard... I don't know if it's released in Asia yet. We can check that, because that's usually the next large market to see if it's done well. So,
I think it has, because even the producers are surprised by how well it's done.
Yeah.
And that's quite something. That was all over Variety this week.
Okay, fair enough. I'll need to check into that to find out, because I've been focused mainly on this is the thing, and we'll lead it into the next segment in a second. I'm mainly focused on the UK box office and the US box office, and it's done a killing. It's made a killing. It's racked up so much money in box office terms, which is great. Because Ryan Coogler is an amazing director.
He is.
The cast is fantastic. And it's just opened up this new bag of new set of criticism, which we can talk about in the next segment, which is going to be our film and TV news. But before we do that, I just want to say this is Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
Our next segment is film news. Okay, Okay, so as I was saying, one of the things that kind of bothered me, and I've kept quiet over the last few weeks, months that this has happened, is the negative criticism. Everyone's heard about it. Everyone's heard about how, leading up to the release, how there were groups of people on the internet saying that they were going to put negative reviews, saying that it was just to bring down Marvel's ratings or whatnot, or to stop Black Panther from getting 100% rating. And then other people shifting it to say they don't know why everyone's putting such social importance to Black Panther, to other people complaining about how, why is it that everyone's saying, oh, Black Panther is the first black superhero, why are they negating other films that came before it, and so on. And I've kept quiet. I read this on Facebook, I read this on...
It must be so difficult for you particularly to keep quiet, being being both a film fan, a Marvel fan, and... an African man.
And a fan of rants. So, because I enjoy any opportunity to get into a debate, I will take it. I will jump into a debate. Yet I haven't had this debate with anyone else.
Yeah, I haven't yet heard your thoughts on Black Panther and its importance, or perhaps not quite so importance, or...
Well, okay. This would be my opportunity, because I guess, fortunately for me, we don't have a guest today, so I can use this opportunity to rant. So you haven't heard my opinion. Before I give my opinion, I want to, like I've said, one of the reasons why I've kept quiet is because I haven't had anyone that I feel I want to debate on this particular topic. I've heard some people talk about it, and it's not that they've said it to me. I've seen posts on Facebook, and that's one thing I have done desperately, I've avoided, which is getting involved in Facebook comments, Twitter comments, and so on, because that's just a losing battle. You're just basically going into a sinkhole, because you can post a comment in retaliation or in response to someone else's comment, but that could either be a troll who's just baiting you to say something, or you won't get an immediate response, and that kind of boils inside me. Anyway, I know I don't have someone in the room with me today that holds that viewpoint, but I'll just rant out. And please, if you disagree with what I say, what I'm about to say, send us a message on Twitter or on Facebook. Our Twitter handle is STB_ResonanceFM, and our Facebook handle is Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. Send us a message if you disagree with what I'm about to say.
Similarly, if you agree, or if you just want to chat about it more, we'll not get tired of chatting about this.
Absolutely. If you want to chat about it as well, feel free to send a message and we'll have this conversation with you. Now, there are so many things to address about it. I'll leave certain topics off the table. But one thing I want to address in particular is that argument that people say, why are people saying Black Panther is the first black superhero? They're discounting a whole bunch of others. Here's the thing. I have this friend that we have constant debates, that we love to debate each other. And there's a tactic that this particular person uses. Whenever I make the debate is about 1 + 1 = let's say, for example, I say one, let's say if I'm saying it, 1 + 1 = 4, I mean 3. Happens is the person jumps in and says, why would you correct yourself and assume that I wouldn't understand that you're saying it's 3? Why? And then the discussion no longer becomes about the magic number 3. It becomes about the fact that I had to correct from 4. That analogy I'm placing on this particular conversation because someone, whoever it was, people, media outlets, have accidentally put out that statement, Black Panther, the first black superhero, right? Now, that's a mistake. A lot of media outlets have tried to correct that by changing it and talking about the majority cast being black, etc. However,
who was the first black superhero in films?
And it's just a general comment, right? People, media outlets who haven't done their research properly, just they want a clickbait headline, right? So they put something like, "Is the first black superhero to be whatever, whatever, whatever," right? So
Black Panther was, though, in the Marvel universe, the first
in the Marvel universe, yes.
Superhero character in the comics.
Well, that's the thing. You'd have to go down the history to be able to judge that. But here's the thing. A lot of critics jump on that bandwagon and say, but oh, you're talking about cinema. What about Blade? Blade did this like 20 years. There's a meme going around saying where it's Black Panther's the first black superhero, and then you see a picture of Blade underneath Blade saying, be please, or whatever. And it's like, okay, yes, I'll start off by saying okay, yes, we've had Blade, we've had Hancock, we've had Falcon, even in the Marvel Universe, we've had Falcon, we've had War Machine, and to a lesser extent, we've had Steel, which is Shaquille O'Neal from like 1997. Fair enough. We've had black superheroes before. The issue isn't the fact that Black Panther is the first black superhero. It's more the fact that Black Panther is... Let's go through that list as well. Let's talk about Blade. Now, Blade, for example, he's the black superhero. However, he has... His majority of his support is by white characters. So you have Whistler, who's his main support, who provides him with all his weapons and everything else. Hancock, he's a mess until his agent, played by Jason Bateman, another white character, comes in and sorts his life out. Falcon, War Machine, they are all basically tied to other white characters like Steve Rogers for Falcon or Tony Stark for War Machine. Steel is the only black superhero in film so far. I mean, someone could probably come up with something different, but Steel, played by Shaquille O'Neal, is the one character I went back and saw in film that isn't really supported by a white character. Maybe Meteor Man, but we won't talk about Meteor Man because that was just mainly a parody. But here's that particular movie, Steel, was derided because it's a terrible movie. I'll be honest, it was a terrible movie. You have Shaquille O'Neal playing Steel. So it was a bad actor playing that particular character, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll push that aside as well. All the other ones that were successful have that. Black Panther, on the other hand, is the first one that I can personally think of that doesn't owe his importance or his strength or his power from someone who's white. And while a lot of people might say...
And that's the important
that for me, that is important. And for a lot of people who place a lot of respect and a lot of prestige on the Black Panther character, that is
not yet franchise.
Not yet franchise. Yeah, but that is the reason why Black Panther is as important as it is, because you're looking at a character who is supported by other black people, where the smartest characters in the movie are black people. The other ones I mentioned, Black Lightning is currently released on Netflix, and his sidekick slash the person who's giving him all his inventions is a white person. Can you think of any movie where the white superhero is the muscle and the sidekick, the Q character, the brain, is a black person?
Nope.
Steel is the only one that has that, because Steel is the only one where he is a soldier who designs weapons. He sees his weapons being used, and he builds his own suit and he goes back onto the street. Again, Steel, played by Shaquille O'Neal. So that got horribly trashed, never looked at again. Black Panther is the first one that bases all of its intelligence, or the intelligent characters, in black actors. Now, and again, a lot of people are saying, well, why is that socially conscious? Why are you looking at race? And again, I wanted to avoid the whole race conversation, but you can't really extrapolate it. A lot of people tend to say, it's a Donald Trumpism. It's seeped into my vocabulary where I say a lot of people. No, there are certain schools of thought where people use the phrase, I don't see color. And I hate that statement, because while we all would prefer not to see color, unfortunately, that's not the way the world exists. Color is there. Everyone sees color, right? Everyone makes judgments based on color. And that is basically what's happening. What people want to say in that regards is, I don't make judgments based on color. But you say it as, I don't see color. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is, you say you don't see color. Usually white people can say that. If you're offended by this, I apologize. I'm not trying to offend, but I'm just putting my point across. When you say you don't see color, it often is used as a way of saying, allow me to say whatever I want to say without you getting offended.
Well, it's funny you should say that, actually, because I was this week re-watching the James Baldwin documentary, the Raoul Peck documentary, I Am Not Your Negro.
Yes.
With all of the original footage of James Baldwin on TV, mm-hmm. Having interviews as this, you know, as a brilliant writer as a man, but at a time when people still use the word nigger,
yes.
And the whole
no, you're absolutely, absolutely right, and that's a very good example. The fact you brought up James Baldwin, right, is sort of that one thing that struck me about that particular documentary. I watched that documentary and I saw as it was the celebration of an intelligent black man, right? Not a lot of young black
Well,
boys
and his
and
failure to publish a book which held people to account that had wronged friends of his who happened to be black.
Yes, and it's a reflection. It's an image that is out there that young black boys and girls should be able to look up to someone who's different, who is held in high regard, to be able to aspire to be that person. A lot of people say, well, why can't they look at Captain America? If they were looking at superheroes, why can't they look at Captain America or Tony Stark and aspire to be about that person? Why does it have to be about race? The problem is, when you see Captain America and you see Tony Stark, if you're a young black kid and you're seeing a white person who doesn't look like you, there is an element of, well, that person is not like me. Maybe I'm not as good as that person. Unfortunately, that's how the world has created this prism for us to look at things. So they see that aspect, which is the reason why having a character like Black Panther, as well as the supporting cast being strong people. David, you mentioned this just before we went on air about the women as well. I mean, you have an army of women in this movie who are fantastic fighters, right? They are, you see them
fight.
I
was rendered speechless as well when I first saw them.
And it's a testament to show, not only does it put, not only do you have strong black men, male characters, like M'Baku, for example, who's one of the characters on there, he's a strong character. Killmonger, he's a bad guy, but you see his motivation, you see the strong male black character that's there that isn't just a drug dealer or isn't a criminal. And T'Challa as well, he's a strong black character who's up there, but also the women. His sister, I can't remember, played by Letitia Wright, she plays a character who's so smart, who's so intelligent. She's criticized in the movie by another character, saying that this girl who, you know, controls technology, being held by a girl who's younger than a teenager or something along those lines. But that's the thing. Your young black girls can see that character and say, I want to be her, rather than saying, I want to be Wonder Woman. Mention another black female superhero. I can't think of anyone right now. I'm probably at the end of the show, I'll probably think about four or five, maybe. But okay, thank you, David. David just whispered, Storm. Fair enough. That's a good call. Absolutely. And like I said, after this, I'll probably think of more people. But here's the thing. Where's the Storm movie? There was an X-Men movie. Halle Berry played Storm. But a lot of people said the character wasn't represented properly. And that's the reason why this movie, in my opinion, is as socially relevant and socially important. Yeah, sorry. I know I'm ranting, and I know I'm gonna. If you leave me to this, I will filibuster till tomorrow morning, and I will still not finish talking about why this movie is important. But yeah, that was my point. I just want to put that across.
I really do agree with you. But also, when I saw the movie, I saw lots more in it than that. That people have been talking about. There's some really interesting things to say about class, and you know, when do you help, you know, when is it appropriate or inappropriate or wrong or right to help somebody who needs something, and when is it, what kind of duty of care do you have as human being to other people?
Absolutely. And and that's the thing, that's one of the reasons why I love this movie, because all of that, with the aspects you're referring to, basically you can see that when you go and watch the movie. Before you get to watch the movie, There was a whole lot of criticism that was placed on the importance. One last bit I'm just gonna say, just to cap off this particular argument, is the criticism that I heard. Why is everyone placing such importance on a superhero story? Why is it not just go and enjoy it as a superhero? Now, here's my response to that. Let me tell you a story. Those six words, let me tell you a story, is the basis of teaching anybody anything since man taught children, or man or woman taught their children. The Bible used story to teach morals. The Quran uses parables. Any religious book, any textbook that wants to teach children uses stories.
They're also used as medicine in lots of places.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're a storyteller, so you know this. Tell us about this.
They have so many uses, but I mean, in... Just keeping, I could go on for a long time about this too, but just keeping to the film, the the whole framing device about it is sort of father-son relationships and teaching and, you know, finding out your father's not perfect.
Sure.
And that who do you forgive and when do you, you know, there's all that kind of moral maze is something that going away from it and telling a sort of example, a parable, sort of a story about someone else's experience really can have a much more powerful effect than just talking straight out between.
Absolutely, which for me, and now I'll cap my rant with this. For those of you who, anybody out there, and feel free to message us on Shoot the Breeze at Resonance 104.4 FM on Facebook or Twitter at STB_ResonanceFM. Anyone who feels that that we are putting way too much importance on Black Panther because it should just be considered as a superhero story, I want to tell you this. It is not just a superhero story. It is a story that teaches... Yes, it is a superhero story, but it also teaches our kids messages. It gives our kids messages. It teaches our kids, especially kids of... And not just black, kids of all races, ethnic minorities, it teaches them that you can be something more than what the world tells you that you are. And that's the reason why I think Black Panther is as socially relevant and important as it is. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
Sorry, I got that off my chest. I feel better now. Now I don't have to have this conversation ever again with anybody. We had... originally planned to have Winston Ellis come and join us today, but he's ill. Unfortunately, he can't join us. So we are just going to rant and roll, and we have something else, which is a new segment that we're going to do. We're going to do some music. We're going to play some music. Not us play music, obviously. But Laura, do you want to introduce the second segment?
Well, we're in the next half of the show, we are actually going to have a sort of a special top five of our favourite songs from movies that we really love. And before that, we are going to recommend some stuff from Amazon Prime, which is seems to be our favorite go-to watch stuff.
It's very accessible because place. I mean,
there's lots of new stuff. There's not lots of new accessible stuff coming out on Amazon Prime,
yeah,
sort of every week. Whereas with Netflix, I think it feels like it's beginning and the end of the month.
True.
So yeah, that's what we have next.
Okay. My recommendation this week comes from Amazon Prime Video, and it's called Life in Pieces. It's a comedy starring Colin Hanks, James Brolin, Diane Wiest, amongst other comedic actors, and it's a 30-minute comedy that is focused on three generations of a family through different stages of romance and of family life. You have one son who's just beginning a romantic relationship with his boss. You have another son who has just had a kid with his wife. The eldest daughter is going through that whole, birds leaving the nest syndrome, if that's what you call it, where her eldest son is going off to college. Her middle daughter is experiencing the dawning of puberty. And the third daughter, the youngest daughter, is going through, is becoming wiser than her age. And so she's feeling it. And her husband is hilarious. And then the parents, played by James Brolin and Diane Wiest, who are in their 70s and still flourishing in the romance of being that old and being that liberated. It's hilarious. I find it hilarious. And I've just, it's something I've been meaning to watch for quite a long time. I just got the chance to watch it yesterday, and I binge watched at least 5 episodes. I had to stop because it was getting into the wee hours of the morning. Otherwise, I could easily have continued. I could have caned all 3 seasons, maybe in a day and a half. But I've got other stuff to do. Anyway, but the show is called Life in Pieces. You can get it on Amazon Prime Video. You can also, I believe it's also coming on Comedy Central if you have Sky, or I think Virgin have that as well. So check that out. Let us know what you think.
Well, I have 2 recommendations, both fairly new to Amazon Prime as well. The first is also a comedy. It's the Swedish film that came out last year called A Man Named Ove. It stars Rolf Lassgård and Bahar Paz, who I've actually never seen on screen before. It's based on the best-selling novel by Frederick Backman, which I read a couple of years ago, about a grumpy old man, really, who keeps on attempting and failing in a number of increasingly hilarious ways to commit suicide. It's kind of serious at its heart, and really, Ove is saved by this character, Parvane, who is a new neighbour of his, and her 2 extremely cute kids. A Man Named Ove, it's now free on Amazon. So that's one. And the second one is a very different type of a movie. It's Raoul Peck's documentary about James Baldwin, I Am Not Your Negro. It tells the story of a book that James Baldwin planned to write, but which never actually got written for reasons people differ on and discuss in the documentary. James Baldwin is one of my favourite authors ever, and it's just a huge treat to hear him speak and see him on the footage of the documentary. The film itself, it doesn't really say anything new that I didn't know about James Baldwin anyway, but it's a great introduction to him, and I heartily recommend it. Coming up next is our top 5. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. This week's top 5 is 5 signature songs from films that we love.
Should I even try? Will I?
That was our number 5 and number 4. You first heard the song Love Should Have Brought You Home by Toni Braxton, and that's from the 1993 star-studded movie Boomerang, starring Eddie Murphy, Grace Jones, Halle Berry. I could go on. Second, you heard Sitting Up in My Room, sung by Brandy, from the film Waiting to Exhale, 1995, directed by Forrest Whitaker and starring Whitney Houston, Angela Bassett, and a small part by Wesley Snipes. This is Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. If you would like to find out more, visit us on Facebook at Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM, or send us a tweet at STB_ResonanceFM.
Fight you, I fight myself, I fight God, just tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorsteps. Life and living hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat, even when hard times bumps the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you
be.
Pray for me.
Won't be the game, but long live the chief. For a little old thing, little boys bang bang. Long live the chief. Fighting over rain, won't be the game, but long live the chief. Yeah, watch pretty mama while I slay my cane. Long live the chief. Cockroaches in the rats. Hand me downs with the patches. Mama put a little money in the mattress. Taught me how to make a silver spoon out of plastic. You can either sink, swim, or be the captain. Get the last word, I'ma get the last laughing. Now they say you're dinner while you're dressing so classy. I don't want my best dressed day in a casket. You can either leave, follow, or get out the way. Make a full move, it will make my full day. Got a 100-year plan, you just think about the day. Always been about time, more than been about pay. Y'all up with me. Usain couldn't run with me. Chief come to find you, you don't come for me. At best, you could run a little company. At worst, I could run the whole country. That's right, pimp game like a brothel. That's why I don't judge a new tassel. I Airbnb the crib like a hostel.
summer ain't cheap, but could the streets get hostile? Shot the boy, this far from a hobby boy. So no, I won't record for your homie boy. I turn the party out like a naughty toy. Then I go and hide in plain sight like a lobby boy. Yes, sir, that your dinner on the banner. Riding for my getting locked up in a slammer. Elder saying everything's a nail to a hammer. And can't spell, but we know I Instagrammer. Well done, better than well said. I read new, well a nigga well read. Really, I ain't met nobody smarter. That's why I got admitted, but I still rejected Harvard. I'm the Fresh Prince in a school where they couldn't read. Mama put me in a school with the Kennedys. When I met Bill Clinton, I was 17. But dead presidentials on my knee. Dining with the governor's daughter. And the father say, I remind him of Obama. I'm the chief diplomat every day. And I'm black and white, Janelle Monae. They won't be the king, but long little chief. For a little old thing, little boys bang bang. Long little chief, new fighting over reigns. Won't be the king, but long little chief. Now watch pretty mama while I slay my cane. Long little chief.
So number three and number two. Number three, Pray For Me, The Weeknd and Kendrick Lamar song from the soundtrack album of Black Panther. If you've not heard it this week, where have you been? And our number two, Jidenna's anthem, Long Live the Chief, from the Netflix Marvel Luke Cage. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. We are listening to five of our favourite songs from films that we love. Number one. Thank you. Number one, Redbone, Childish Gambino, from the masterpiece that is Get Out. We obviously played the clean version. There's a dirty version out there to listen to. If you haven't listened to it, listen to it.
You've been listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
Thank you for listening.
And see you next week.